This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 69, How to Be the MVP of the Speaking Test. You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show.
In today's IELTS Energy episode, you're going to learn how to not drop the ball on the speaking test and use awesome idioms to answer questions about sports.
Get the 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Download it now. See you there. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Lindsay, how's it going?
Nah, pretty well. Not bad, you know, the usual, just a typical day in Boston. And you?
I am super excited right now because the Women's World Cup is happening.
Oh my God, and you love soccer.
Oh my gosh, I love soccer. And just seeing these women are fighting so hard for every ball. Like the first game I watched was Nigeria versus Sweden. And, oh my gosh, like they're just giving everything for the ball. You know, I'm just so impressed with these girls. And there's none of this like falling down and grabbing your ankle like the men always do.
Oh, you mean faking injury?
Yes. Because those men professional soccer players do it all the time, right?
Really? That's interesting.
The ladies don't do it because like they're not in it for the money. Women professional sports players do not make a lot of money, right?
No, they're in it for the heart, right? For the desire to win and for the competition and the experience.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of talk this year about these women being role models for all the girls in their home countries. And there's just so many positive messages coming out of the tournament that it's really empowering.
That's so cool. I mean, we can learn so much from sports, right? I mean, I think that having a sport in your life that you can spend a lot of your life working towards mastery in is so good. You know, it's so good for you as a person, right?
Exactly. Being like experiencing winning, but also experiencing losing. And how do you deal with that? You know, it makes you really strong.
Absolutely. I mean, I know when I was playing tennis as a kid, I lost all the time. All the time. We used to drive around to tournaments around New England when I was 14, 15. I would always lose in the first round. My mom was so supportive. She's like, oh, maybe next time, honey.
I know. And like how your parents deal with it too is huge. Like,
that's huge.
There were some terrible sports dads when I was in school, right? Just like so mean to their kids. Like, that's awful.
Anyway. And soccer is kind of famous for that. Soccer, all the organized sports, actually all sports. We also had on our team, we had some really bad parents that would be so hard, but especially with soccer, basketball, those sports where it's just
football,
really intense.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of parents on the sidelines just freaking out, you know?
Yeah. I think some of these parents played the sports when they were growing up and and maybe they didn't do as well as they wanted and they're putting all their hopes on their kid, you know, to like succeed.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Ooh, right? That's a good idiom.
That's a good expression. Ooh, yeah.
Recipe for disaster. What does that mean?
Yeah. So that means, you know, when you have a situation, all the factors line up and it's headed to a bad place.
Yeah.
Right? We know it's headed to a bad place.
Like you're looking at these like 2 or 3 factors and you're like, if this is definitely going to end badly. So like if you're watching a soccer game or something and we're talking about this. Let me bring it back to IELTS for a second.
Bring it back.
we're talking about this today because there's often questions in speaking part 1 and part 2 about your free time, your hobbies, exercise, staying in shape, playing sports. So these are really common topics. So if you were talking about like a game you watched recently and you're like, well, first of all, the coach quit the day before and then the star player, you know, got hurt. And it was just a recipe for disaster. And
a recipe for disaster. Yeah. Any kind of string, when things, bad situations are stringing together and creating a horrible result. But we had a listener that wrote into us, right, Jessica, and asked us to cover this hobby of soccer and also how we answer this speaking test question about our hobbies when it comes to sports. So, Jessica, what is the typical speaking test question about what's typically asked?
So it could be three different topics that come up. It could be free time, like what do you like to do in your free time? What are some of your hobbies? It could be fitness or staying in shape. British English, they say fit. American English, we say stay in shape. So, but it means the same thing. How do you keep fit or how do you stay in shape? And then sometimes it's just sports. Do you play sports? Did you play sports as a child? I've seen all these questions on the test.
Guys, stop wasting time, money, and energy doing the wrong things to prepare for your IELTS exam. If you need a score of 7 or higher, we can show you the 7 easy steps to follow to get that 7 or higher that you need and to move on with your life and your career. Go right now to allearsenglish.com/SEVEN to download your cheat sheet for free. See you there. allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Okay, good. So we need to be ready to answer them then. So should we throw out some examples of how we would answer those questions on the test, Jessica, and help our listeners to get some ideas?
Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. Lindsay, I'm going to ask you first, okay?
I'm ready.
How do you stay in shape? How do you keep fit?
Yeah. So I like to play tennis. I mean, I played a lot more tennis when I was younger, but these days I try to play tennis when I can, occasionally, once in a while. Yeah. Okay. And yeah, and so in that case, and you know, I'm really a team player when it comes to tennis. That's why I loved playing on a tennis team rather than just on my own going out for a pickup match, right? So playing with a group and, you know, you can all work together.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, because if you're in a tournament or something, then like each of your points gets put together to win, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's very individual. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that was good. So we have team player, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and in high school, I was the MVP of my high school tennis team, which was very cool.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. What does MVP mean?
So MVP is the most valuable player.
Yeah. So we hear that a lot. If you guys are watching basketball, football, soccer, if you're watching these sports on TV, you're probably going to hear about the MVP, right?
Yeah.
Usually if you're watching a game, they're talking about the most valuable player of that game. So often in different soccer matches, they say, the man of the match. So that's the same as MVP, but in soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
interesting. Okay. And so for that question, how long would I have needed to keep speaking? Because I cut that off really short. So for our listeners, how long would we need to speak to answer that question?
Yeah. So speaking part one, one sentence can be fine, but usually you want to hit 2 to 3 sentences.
Okay.
And 4 sentences is also fine. You know, just keep it natural. So let's say between 2 and 4 sentences. But definitely complete sentences, always more than one word, more than one sentence.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, great. So let me throw out a question for you, Jessica. Okay. Are you ready?
All right,
let's do it. So Jessica, how about you? What kind of sports or do you play any sports in your free time?
I have been a soccer player my whole life. I played soccer for, let's see, probably like 10 years straight. And then I kind of dropped the ball there. I didn't really play for a while. Yeah. About a decade. And then I started playing again. So, now that I'm playing again and I haven't played in a while, like 1 out of 20 shots are on frame. Like my aim is totally off now. So I really need to practice, but you know, I don't play to be the best. I just play because it's fun. So that's the most important. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So what expressions did you use there? You said drop the ball and I love that one, right?
Yeah. This is an awesome idiom. So we can use this in any part of life, right? Not just sports. So we drop the ball if we don't do something we're supposed to.
Yes,
right? Like you have this responsibility that you're supposed to do and you don't do it. You drop the ball. Like, if I'm supposed to get in shape and I'm supposed to run 2 miles every day and I don't because I get lazy, I'm going to be like, I dropped the ball. I didn't do that. Or what if like your boss asks you to pick up coffee on the way to work for the meeting and you don't do it? And you get to work and you're like, ah, I dropped the ball.
I like this idiom because it's super common, right? We use it all the time in our everyday lives. And it, of course, it can be used to talk about sports, but you're right. It can be used to talk about anything. So we want to encourage our listeners, if you guys are looking to, you know, say this expression, it's a useful one that will probably, you know, make the examiner super impressed, right, Jessica?
Drop the ball. Anytime you talk about any failure, anything you did wrong in your life, you can use it. Another one that's good to use in sports and the rest of your life, you could, is down for the count.
Ooh.
I think it comes from boxing, right? Yeah. Like originally. Yeah.
Yep.
But it's not just used for boxing anymore. That's why it's an idiom. So when can we use this now?
Yeah. So I think this I don't actually use this that much, but I've heard it a lot and I've heard people use it before, but I think we use it when we're talking about, well, someone is in trouble. Is that how you would use it? Or
I think it's like, I picture it really literally like in boxing, like a knockout. Like if a boxer knocks the other person out and the person falls down and then you get that count, right?
Yeah, they're counting, right?
The ref counts. And if they don't get up, then they're out. They're finished. So down for the count is like, you're finished. Like you can't do that anymore. So like I've been talking about my knee injury, right?
That's a good example.
Like I was taken out on the field and I've really been down for the count. Like I can't even run for another, I don't know how many months now. So right now I'm really down for the count.
You're down for the count. So anytime you are, anytime you're disabled, right? You're not able to do something, you're out and you are down for the count. I like that. I like that.
Even if you guys are like studying too much or, you know, working too much, putting in so many hours that you get really tired, you can't do anything more. You're exhausted. You could say, like, I'm down for the count. I have to go to bed. I can't do this anymore.
Another way to say burnout, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of these idioms come from sports originally, but we use them in many parts of life now.
Totally. And we want to encourage our listeners, if you guys are feeling burnt out when it comes to IELTS preparation, just be careful. Watch out for that. Make sure you take a day off, right, Jessica? Because,
It's,
you know, it's going to make a big difference if you just take a day and then come back to it. So we want to
think about like your brain is a muscle, right? If you hurt a muscle, you can't go sprint the next day or you're going to hurt it worse.
Yeah.
Same with your brain. If it's tired, if you've worked it too hard, then you need to rest or it's not going to work correctly next day.
Totally. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Awesome. So are there any other idioms that we can throw out there when it comes to sports? I mean, what about this expression, the underdog? I really like that one. You know,
I love it. I think Americans, I think Americans are sort of famous for rooting for the underdog. Like we always want the underdog to win. So the underdog is the team or the person who is not favored to win, who people think are going to lose.
Yeah, it reminds me of that movie Rudy. So if you guys haven't seen the movie Rudy, you know, we would encourage you. Another good way to prepare for the IELTS is to watch movies in English, right? You know, great movie where Rudy is the underdog. He's playing for Notre Dame, the football team, and he's just small and he's not good, but then he somehow, you know, comes out on top, right?
Uses his strength of heart, you know?
It's a
very inspiring story. Or that movie from a couple years ago with Sandra Bullock, The Blind Side.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's like a Texas football movie, but it's just lovely. It's a lovely story. Like her family takes in, I think he was a homeless kid and like helps him to be a pro football player.
Whoa.
Like it's Yeah, super, it's super cool.
Yeah, we have a lot of movies like that in this culture. I mean, I think that's a huge part of American culture, of our narrative, right? The stories we tell ourselves, what we believe in, what we work towards. I mean, it doesn't always work out in such a Hollywood fashion.
But this American ideal of like, you can start with nothing and it doesn't matter what your background is, what your class is, you know, like you can be the best, just work hard, which like you said, it's not always true in real life, but this is what we tell ourselves.
It's not always true. I mean, it's true. And when it comes to something like the IELTS exam, though, I mean, the playing field is somewhat level. All we have to do is sit down and focus on the exam, put in the time and learn the strategies, right? And we have that chance to kind of move forward with our lives.
So. Yeah. So none of you are underdogs on the IELTS. That's right. All of you have the chance to succeed.
You got it. All right. Well, this has been useful. I mean, so now we know how to answer any questions when it comes to sports. You know, think about what you guys like to do for fun, you know, out on the playing field or on the tennis court, and try to bring in some idioms as much as you can. Right.
Yeah. And think of how you could use these idioms for other topics also, because we gave you guys some examples. So try and think of your own examples.
Totally. I love it. All right. Any final words of wisdom on the speaking test, Jessica?
My advice, guys, is to watch the Women's World Cup in English. Find it streaming online. Watch it in English. Cheer for the women from your country and learn English at the same time.
Ah, love it. Excellent. Excellent. All right, guys. Enjoy the World Cup. Thanks for hanging out today, Jessica. Have a good one.
Thanks. And see you too. Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.